we're very blessed to be quite an international church in a way. We've got lots of people from different nations that come and worship with us here. And we really love that. We want to be a multi-ethnic church, a multicultural church, one that everybody from every nation can feel welcome and a part of and included and involved in our church family. And it's with that in mind that I'm really delighted to be able to welcome Gabriel to come and bring God's word to us again this morning. Gabriel Akinbade has spoken once before here. He was, as I have said previously, a pastor in his own country of Nigeria, in his previous country of Nigeria, in his birth nation. And he was telling me that this weekend is a culmination of something called, it's the convention weekend, the national convention weekend in Nigeria. And what happens is that as part of that, on this Sunday, different pastors and ministers through Nigeria go to different churches and preach in different churches around the country as well. And I didn't know this when I asked Gabriel, would he come and preach here today? So he saw it as rather kind of, wow, that kind of fits in really nicely with that. God knows what he's doing. So it is a delight and a pleasure to welcome Gabriel to come and talk to us this morning. I hope you'll give him a warm welcome as well as he comes up. Thanks, Gabriel.
It's really good to be in the presence of the Lord. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, our Redeemer. It is by His grace, by His love, and by the power of His resurrection that I have this opportunity to stand before you, people of God, to bring the word of God to us. And the topic is the appearance of the risen Lord for a turning around of situational life experience. I want to appreciate the leadership of this church, the pastor, the worship team leaders for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it. And I was telling my pastor Phil this morning that incidentally, today is the Nigerian Baptist Convention Sunday. The convention starts on Friday and it will end next week, Thursday. What happens on Convention Sunday like this is that ministers of God will be sent out to various churches where the convention is taking place and the neighboring states. So the convention is taking place in the Baptist International Conference Center in Lagos. So I want to seize this opportunity as one of the opportunity given to me by God to stand before you, people of God. Let us pray. I want you to speak unto the Lord as you are in His presence this morning. Talk to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in the power of your resurrection. I'm here in your presence this morning. Meet me at the point of my need. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, speak to our lives, speak to our situations, speak to our families, and bless each individual of us. Amen. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we concluded the service by the shout of joy. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. It was captioned here. Yeah? I remember. Hallelujah. He is risen. We have that opportunity to celebrate this risen Lord. Why we are celebrating was that at the event after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the authority of that time and the religious leaders, they wanted to manipulate the true story of the event. That is found in Matthew record. In Matthew chapter 28 from verse 11 to 15. It was recorded there that they wanted to manipulate the reality of the power of the resurrection. But I say the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an indisputable fact in history, which can never be covered by any human manipulation or scheming. According to Matthew's account, after his resurrection, the authority and the religious leaders of the time attempted to cover the truth and reality of the event. However, they all failed, because no human power can hinder the power of his resurrection. The mighty stone that was used to cover the tomb couldn't stop him from coming out. Neither the soldiers stationed there to guard the tomb could stop the power of resurrection. After he resurrected, he indeed appeared to his followers and the disciples. According to John's record, the first appearance was to Mary, who visited the tomb of Jesus Christ very early in the morning to go and probably see the dead body of the Lord Jesus. But she met an empty tomb, and she was confused, and she thought in her mind that probably some people might have taken away the body of Jesus Christ. And she was sorrowing. She was sorrowful. And she was weeping. And Jesus appeared unto her. And Mary was comforted. After she had gone to the tomb and found that it was empty, she was weeping. Jesus appeared to her by his appearance, and after realizing that it was Jesus indeed, she was comforted and she was joyful. She went straight away to the disciples to declare the news of her joy, the news of her discovery unto them. But they did not believe. That was on the first day. In the evening time, while the disciples were gathering in a certain room, they locked themselves up because of the fear of the authority. They locked themselves up, and Jesus appeared to them. That was in the evening of that first day. On that appearance, Thomas was not there. And so, when Jesus appeared to them, he knew their situation. He knew what they were experiencing. And he spoke to them and said, "Peace be unto you. By the authority of the Lord, I speak into your life. I speak into your family that there will be peace in the name of Jesus. You will experience the peace of the Lord by the power of the risen Lord." And Jesus spoke the power of his peace into their lives. Today we are considering the appearance of Jesus Christ to some of his disciples. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 21. We are going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples there asked him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The sermon is segmented into four subtopics, which are the fruitless toiling of the disciples. We see that from verse 1 to verse 3. 2, the appearance and intervention of the risen Lord. We find that from verse 4 to verse 6. 3, the awareness of the presence of the risen Lord, verse 7 to 9. Number 4, the risen Lord catered and provided for the needs of the disciples. We find that from verse 10 to verse 14. Let's consider some important facts about the background to the text. The previous appearances occurred in Jerusalem on the first day, 1 in the morning, to Mary, and in the evening of that same day, and on the 8th day to the disciples, where he reestablished the faith of Thomas. We call him the doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, because he doubted when the disciples told him that they have seen the Lord, that the Lord has risen. He said, "No, I can't believe. Not until I touch the spot of those nails and I feel them, then I will believe." Then Jesus knew. So on the 8th day, he appeared to them while Thomas was there, and he reestablished the faith of Thomas. On seeing Jesus, Thomas shouted, "My Lord and my Savior!" And Jesus told him, "It's because you see me that you believe. Blessed are those who haven't seen me, but yet they profess and they believe in their hearts. Amen. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. We are blessed. The matter of faith, the matter of Christianity is by faith. Not by seeing, not until you see signs. In our traditional background, traditional religious background, they depend on symbols. They depend on things that they can see. Things that they can hold on to. That is why in typical African settings, in those days, before the coming of the faith of Christ, you see, you enter some houses, they will tie something on the doorpost of their houses because they believe that there is power in those things. But the matter of Christianity is by faith. You have to declare Jesus that he is my Lord, he is my Savior. So the matter of resurrection of the Lord, even to today, some people are still doubting that you are fooling yourself, especially because of that incident in Matthew chapter 28, 11 to 15. People are still, even among the Jews, I was privileged to travel to Jerusalem in 2013. That Sea of Galilee, we were there, and we were put in a boat. And driven? We were paddled on a ship into the center of the sea. So I was there. I had that privilege and opportunity. Even till today, among some Jews are still doubting. But you will not doubt in the name of Jesus. So the previous appearances occurred in Jerusalem on the first day and the eighth day of his resurrection. The one we are talking about, the one we are considering today, occurred in Galilee some days after the resurrection. The particular time in between his resurrection to his ascension, we cannot pinpoint, but it is in between the first appearance and the time of his ascension. He had earlier told them in Mark chapter 14, verse 28, that they should meet him in Galilee after his resurrection on a certain mountain. But Peter led his colleagues, other disciples, he led them to the Sea of Galilee. Although they were told to meet Jesus by a mountain at Galilee, however, Peter led the other disciples to the Sea of Galilee. The fruitless toiling of the disciples. What would have made Peter to decide to go fishing at this crucial time? Don't you think about that? I don't think it was for adventure. And I don't think it was for leisure. The distance between Jerusalem and Galilee was about 80 miles. And it took them about 4 days' journey by trekking. What would have led Peter to say, I'm going to the sea to fish? Well, I thought that it was to meet some challenges. Probably financial challenges. Probably they are in need of something to eat. And Peter felt that going to the sea as a professional fisherman will meet those needs. You know, Jesus was no more with them physically. And so they probably have no means of getting things to meet their needs. So he thought going to the sea to go and fish was a solution. But despite all their efforts, they caught nothing. They toiled throughout the night. I begin to wonder, as a professional fisherman, not only Peter, there was the Zebedees, they were professionals, and they knew the right time to go to the fish to go and catch. They know exactly where to cast nets. But despite all their efforts, they caught nothing. Fruitless effort. Why? Probably due to disobedience to the instruction of the Lord. Let's go to point number two, the appearance and intervention of the risen Lord. Verse 4 to 6. As an omnipresent and omniscient God, Jesus knew about their situation. He knew where they were and what they were passing through. He knew what their needs were. And he knew where to find them. And Jesus appeared to them at the Sea of Galilee. As an omnipotent God, all-powerful God, he proffers solution to their situation. He said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Could it be they have not cast their net on that side while through the night, while they were toiling through the night? I don't think so. But thank God, they did not argue. They did not begin to put one and two together to say, oh, don't you know that we have been toiling all through the night? We are professionals. The disciples just needed to obey for a positive result. As you are here this morning, I don't know what you are passing through. I don't know what your experience is. I don't know what your situation of life is. All you need is to obey Jesus. All you need is to follow him. Follow his instruction. And definitely, surely, you know, he promised that he will resurrect when he was with the disciples. He kept the promise. And because he resurrected, we, after this life, in Christ, we will resurrect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point number three, the awareness of the presence of the risen Lord. With the outcome of his instruction, one of the disciples then realized that it was Jesus and told Peter that it is the Lord. The outcome was that the net caught many fish. It was full to the extent that the disciples all had to drag it ashore. The number of the disciples there at the Sea of Galilee was 7. And Nathanael was mentioned. It was as if I have not read that passage before when I was preparing. I said, Nathanael? Is Nathanael among the disciples? Then I went to do some findings. Then what I found out was that Nathanael, Bartholomew, the name Bartholomew and Nathanael. So Nathanael stand as Bartholomew. That Bartholomew is the same as the person. You remember in the earlier, I think in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called the first disciples and they went, Andrew said, we have seen the Lord. And Nathanael said, can anything good come from out from Nazareth? And he told him, come and see. So Nathanael, let's say Bartholomew. So the seven disciples were at the sea. All of them were not able to drag out the net because of the numbers. What another thing, why was the number 153 mentioned? Why was it? My own conclusion and the conclusion of some scholars was that it was mentioned to indicate the largeness or the number of the fish. It was specifically counted in order to meet the needs of the disciples. How did the fire of burning coals, the fish and some bread go there? Who prepared the fire? The fish and some bread there. Who put them there? Could it be that they were left there by some other fishermen? I doubt not. Or that they were divinely provided by the risen Lord. This was no other than divine provision of the risen Lord. Hallelujah. I don't believe that, I don't think that it was the fire was prepared by some other fishermen and they left it there. And you remember, there is fish on it, or there was fish on it, and some bread. It was divinely provided. The Lord will provide for your need. Whatever is your need, physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, psychologically, the Lord, the risen Lord, is able to meet you. He will meet you at the point of your situation. He will meet you at the point of your need. What are those things that are bringing tears from your eyes? Sometimes when we are in church, we camouflage. Sometimes when we are in church, we cover our sorrow. We cover our real life. We cover what we are passing through. But there is somebody you cannot cover from him. You cannot cover your story from him. You cannot cover your situation from him. You cannot cover your... You know what he told Nathanael when he eventually brought to Jesus? He said, behold, a man in whom there was no deceit. Huh? Did you know me? Jesus told him, right while you were sitting under that tree, I saw you. You know Jeremiah, when he was called at the age, when he was young, he said, I will not do your work because I am very young. Don't say you are young. While you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Hallelujah. That's our God. You can't cover yourself from him. You can't cover your situation from him. So I believe that provision of fire, of bread and fish were divinely provided by the risen Lord, because he knew their situation. He knew they were feeling hungry. He knew they were in need. And as a loving father, the I am that I am, the risen Lord who loves you so much that he came. Last Sunday we sung a song, from heaven to the earth, and from the earth to the cross, and from the cross to the grave. Amen. Let me quickly conclude. The reason law number four. The reason law cater, knowing fully well that the disciples must have been feeling hungry, as a loving father, the reason law cater for their needs. The fish caught by the net was said to be 153 large fish. It was even mentioned, large fish. And as large and numerous as the fishes were, the net was not torn. He invited them to have breakfast. He took bread and gave it to them and also the fish. He fed them physically. He also fed them spiritually. He met their need physically. The following chapter in John chapter 22, he specifically called Peter. Peter, do you love me more than this? More than this catching of fish? And three times, Peter was telling him or responding, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. The message from the text. Number one, the reason Lord knows all about you, your situation, your experience, your lack, and your needs. Nothing about you is hidden from him. The risen Lord knows everything about me, about you. There are things that you may not even be able to discuss with your pastor. There are some experiences, but there is somebody, even in your closet room, you can communicate with him and open up to him. And that's why we Baptists, one of our doctrine is priesthood of all what? All believers. Priesthood of all believers. Suggesting that you have access, direct access to the Lord God. You don't need a prophet. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. You don't need a seer. You don't need an intermediary, human intermediary, to help you beg God. You have direct access to the Lord. You can share your burdens with him. You can share your sorrow with him. You can share your experience with him because he cares. That's what Peter wrote in, I think, in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your burdens upon him, for he. Number two, the reason Lord can meet you at your point of need, like he appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. The reason Lord is able to do that no man can do, that no human can do, he can meet your needs. I connect that with that provision of the fire, the burning fire, fire of coals, the provision of fish, the provision of bread. He knew their needs. He knew they were feeling hungry. And that is why they went to the sea, that they will catch some fish to feed themselves. But they toiled throughout the night. They could not catch any. They could not physically, by their own human wisdom, by their own human reasoning, meet those needs. But God met them at their situation, and he provided a solution to them. He now refocused their attention. They have focus their attention to solving their problem by in their own way. But God, through Jesus, now refocus their attention to a source and everlasting, lasting solution. Number four, your openness and recognition of him is also important. You must, as a matter of fact, recognize and profess him as the Lord of your life. Finally, like the disciples did, if you can obey and follow his instruction, the risen Lord can turn your situation around for the better. From hopelessness to hopefulness. From lacking to abundance and sufficiency. Today, I am here to declare to you that Jesus is ever living and is forever alive. He knows about your situation, experience, or predicament. No matter the degree or the gravity and elaborateness of your problem, he is sufficiently able to meet you at the point of your needs. Just like he met the needs of the disciples, your situation and experience can receive a turning around for the better by the power of his resurrection. All you need is to declare him as your Lord and look up to him in faith. I invite you to join me to sing this song prayerfully. If you know the song, and we sing it solemnly. It's a song of prayer. If you have faith, commit that problems unto him. The risen Lord will appear to you and will meet you at the point of your situation. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh Lord, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, I want you to talk to him. He comforted Mary when she was sorrowing. Cast that burden onto him. Tell him to do something wonderful, something new. Tell him to meet you at the point of your need.
Lord, as Gabriel said, we don't know, I don't know, others in this room don't know the particular needs that there might be in some of our lives, in some of those people who are watching this morning, their lives. But you do, Lord. And so, as Gabriel has said, we ask you to meet those needs this morning as we open our hearts up to you. As we lift these things to you. We thank you that you have the power to do that, the authority to do that, the capability, ability to do that. And we believe and trust in you, Jesus, for you to do that this morning. In our lives, the lives of our brothers and sisters here. We ask it in your name and we say again, to God be the glory.